Hey kids, in order to celebrate the 50th show of Bart Cop Radio, today's beverage is a fine glass of Veuve Clicquot champagne. Nice and bubbly, and real champagne from Champagne, France. Granted, it's not Le Grand Dame, but it'll have to do. Sorry for the two-week absence, but Tommy finally unpacked the recording equipment and got the studio set up in our new place. Yes, we finally moved. Even though it was only two blocks from our old place, and even though we had about 20 of our soccer buds helping us, which made it relatively easy, it was quite the ordeal. First, there was our suicidal fridge. It was the second trip with the big stuff in the U-Haul, and whoever closed the back of the truck forgot to latch it. So Tommy took a turn, the back of the truck flew up, and the fridge leapt to its death in the middle of Cahuenga Boulevard. Driving the truck alone, he is completely oblivious until cars start passing him, honking and shouting, "Your fridge fell out of the truck!" Thankfully, it only killed itself. Now, we have our very first brand new fridge. It's an amazing thing. I've always inherited electrical appliances from other people, and I never knew I could get so thrilled by a fridge. It's pretty cool to have such a sparkly, clean new one with chilled water and crushed or cubed ice in the door. Woo! I feel like a grown-up. We also had a friend who was helping us move get his finger pinched by the box springs, and he pulled it back and flicked it a few times because of the pain, not realizing he was bleeding like he hit an artery, and now our bedroom wall and furniture look like a CSI crime scene, complete with blood spatter. But hey, we've got the best moving stories ever! But hasn't it been an amazingly fabulous couple of weeks? First, my boy Lance Armstrong dominates the most grueling sport on the planet and places himself in the history books as perhaps the best athlete in the world, having won a record 6 Tour de France. Not just 6, but 6 in a row. Amazing. And George Bush once again demonstrates his IQ of 3 by calling Lance as he's on the podium in Paris, accepting the Tour de France trophy. The people answering the phone tell George, "I'm sorry, sir, but he's a little busy. He's on the podium right now." And George says, "I know. I can see him on my TV. Just hand him the phone." No, George, the world doesn't revolve around you, and you aren't going to upstage Lance Armstrong no matter what you do. Thank God. Then there was the wonderful DemoCon 2004. Now, I really detest political conventions, as they tend to be such snooze fests, but I watched it on my local PBS station, so there was minimal chatter, thankfully. I didn't catch all of it, but I'll tell you what blew me away. Is Barack Obama the real deal or what? His speech was one of the best I've ever heard and had modern-day echoes of Dr. King ringing through it. He is as eloquent as Clinton. If you haven't heard it, you can most likely find a video of it archived on the web or text of the speech at www.dems2004.org. That man will be president someday if the GOP doesn't have him killed first. Wow. And I don't care what Reverend Sharpton's history is. I am thrilled he had the balls to speak the truth. And I also don't care how all the pundits try to spin it or how much bounce they think is going on or not going on. John Kerry's speech was a home run out of the ballpark. I think he finally decided to not say what his handlers wanted him to or say what they think people want to hear. But he said the simple truth. And afterwards, I felt awesome to be a liberal and proud to be a Democrat. I am sick and tired of having the Republicans saying that white is black and up is down. I am sick of their hate and the way they try to twist that hatred to the point they say it's us who are so filled with hate. Look in the mirror, assholes. You know, I'm not filled with hate. I am filled with rage against them for wanting to take away the rights of anyone who doesn't agree with them. I am sick of them wrapping themselves in our flag and screaming treason when we exercise our constitutional right to dissent and speak our mind. I am enraged by them hijacking the very meaning of liberalism and making it a dirty word when it's the very ideology that gave them the right to vote in the first place. Why don't you all go find some little patch of land nobody else wants and set up your own little fascist state and leave my land of liberty alone? But hey, how great was Teresa? Finally, a woman who is not an extension of her husband, but a whole human being in her own right. Not a meek little mousy Stepford female who is trotted out and pours tea when it makes a nice soundbite and photo op, but a real woman who is her own person, who speaks, what, at least 5 languages, has been all over the world, and will not allow some right-wing neocon nutjob pathetic excuse for a journalist to spin her words into something she didn't say. Well done, Teresa. Well done. You have just given every little girl on the globe the best role model ever, not to mention the rest of us grown-up gals as well. I know that all those misogynistic bastards out there who think a woman ought to know her place are sweating and their heads are exploding, and I love it. Wrap your head around this, you losers. You are not better than women. In fact, you will never be equal to me until you can squeeze out a baby and bleed 1 week a month and not die. There is a reason it's called the sacred feminine. Thank you, Teresa. At last, a woman to represent the 21st century, not some Donna Reed wannabe trip back to the 50s. Brava, Teresa. Brava. Some other highlights for me were the big dog on Dave and Jon Stewart. How sweet was that? Remember what it was like to have an intelligent president who can speak so eloquently off the cuff? And how about Maureen Dowd on Jon Stewart saying that Dick Cheney is barking mad? I love that. Or the Swift boat vets getting completely spanked and demonstrating to the entire world just how desperate Bush and the neocons have become. Watching the meltdown has been so entertaining, including the fact that Bush and company outed their inside Al-Qaeda informant and allowed several terrorists to get away when they were on the verge of being taken into custody. What the hell is wrong with these people? You don't give a 15-year-old a Maserati because you know they'll show off and wreck the car. You also don't give a drunk the keys to that same Maserati because they'll crash it and most likely kill someone. So why are we letting a drunk with the emotional and intellectual level of a 15-year-old drive the Maserati of countries when we wouldn't let him drive the car? I don't know. Just a thought. Anyway, that's it for this week. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Modern campaigns are always trying out new themes and ideas to see which ones will resonate. And this weekend, the president used one phrase 23 times in 5 speeches.
We are turning the corner. We are turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We've turned the corner. We're turning the corner. We've turned the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning that corner.
23 times in 5 speeches, he said, we've turned the corner. John Kerry took his national bus board to Scranton, Pennsylvania, where the Democratic nominee, coming off his unexpectedly powerful acceptance speech, took to the mic.
Just yesterday, we heard that America is turning the corner, that our economy is turning the corner.
All right, here comes the new short, sharp, succinct John Kerry. Going to smack this thing out of the park.
Well, I don't know what corner they're turning, but the corner that I see is the jobs turned the corner and they just kept on going all the way outside the country to some other place.
May I ask you, was it all just a dream?
Our president has announced a new position for one man to be in charge of all terrorism-related decisions. Okay? Don't we already have this? Isn't this called the president?
The Republicans now getting ready for their big convention in New York City. Apparently they have a plan for going into New York. They just don't have a plan for getting out.
Week's Democratic convention proved, if you desperately need to grab people's attention, nothing works better than a big, flashy, meaningless stunt. But maybe you can't pay for 1 million balloons, or can, but don't want to pay for Mellencamp. Well, don't worry. This summer, there's a self-promoting spectacle for every budget. In fact, getting national attention doesn't take anything more than showing a movie in a parking lot. It doesn't hurt if the movie is Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11, and the parking lot is in Crawford, Texas. Moore recently showed the film to give President Bush an opportunity to see it, or on the slim chance he couldn't make it, maybe get some publicity for himself. And how'd it go? Well, in a town with 750 residents, 3,000 people showed up. Of course, they don't get a lot of movies in those parts, not since Ernest stopped going places. One thing is for sure, if Michael Moore is your kind of guy, Roy Moore is most definitely not. Now, he's the right-wing judge booted off the bench for refusing to remove a Ten Commandments monument from his Alabama courthouse. And now, he's taking the monument on tour through America. Now, I remember the last time the Ten Commandments went on the road. One wrong turn, and they got lost in the desert for 40 years. Keep your fingers crossed, people. The tour was arranged by a group called America Standing for God and Country, which wants to permanently display the monument in Washington.
We've supported Judge Roy Moore in the last 2 or 3 years, and I think he's exactly right. I think our activist judges are acting outside the Constitution.
You know, religious folk would do themselves a huge favor if they just called for a separation of church and idiot. But the best stunts of all aren't about politics or religion. They're about a good, old-fashioned, desperate need for attention. Like on Saturday when Robbie Knievel performed a daring motorcycle jump on the deck of the USS Intrepid over a row of fighter planes. Robbie's dad is the legendary Evel Knievel. And I have to say, what kind of dad named Evel names their son Robbie? Nasty Knievel, mean Knievel, even Weevil Knievel. But Robbie? Fathers can be so cruel. Of course, Knievel has the best justification in the world for performing the stunt.
I'm doing it for, you know, the troops, everybody, the fallen family from 9/11, the heroes, and, you know, the people, that all the vets that fought and died for our country.
I see. So you can do any stupid thing you want, as long as you say it's for the troops. I'll remember that the next time I'm busted for public urination. I know this looks bad, officer, but it was the least I could do for our boys.
Hi, Bert. How you doing, man? It's me, Joe. Oh, yeah, I really dig those CDs, man. They're the greatest. Jesus Christ.
Hey, guys. Love your site. This is Lalo Alcaraz from La Cucaracha. Hey, man, use my comic strip. If you're going to steal everybody else's comic strips, steal mine. It's lacucaracha.com. Bush chinga su madre.
Hey, Mr. Bart Cop, it's Rick Del Castillo calling to say, hey, we're driving through Oklahoma City, and I just wanted to say, hey, I got your number from Gary, our sound man, who's a big fan. He reads your website every day. Told me to tell you that. Say hey to
Mrs. Bart
for me. Bye-bye.
Hi, Bart, it's me, Joe. Toledo, how you doing, man? Yeah, I went into work this morning, and I told this kid that got a job I worked through my right-wing kid foreman, and I told him to go see Fahrenheit 911, and I'll be damned if he didn't go see it. He told me, he goes, God, I didn't realize how close the Bushes were to those Saudis. And I says, yeah, now you know why I get so goddamn pissed off, you know, because the press never reports any of that. And he goes, man, I didn't realize all that shit. I shocked the hell out of me. This is some rich kid, you know. He wouldn't saw it. That's what I tell you that. Adios.
Make sure you raise a toast to the man, the mission, the funk, the super freak himself. Rest in peace, Rick James.
She's a super freak, super freak, she's super freaking now. Temptation sing. Silver freak, silver freak, the devil's silver freak. She's a very kinky girl, the kind you won't take home to mother, and she will.
Republicans are now trying to energize their Amish vote. I am not kidding. They're going after the Amish vote in the swing states of Pennsylvania and Ohio. Dick Cheney is really pandering to the Amish. Today he told a senator, go fuck thyself.
According to his daughter, John Kerry once gave CPR to a hamster. Now, wait a minute. Didn't the same thing happen to Richard Gere?
Yeah, I'm traveling, traveling our country. We're not turning back.
We need leadership.
It's tough traveling with the vice president of sexiest politician of the year, Ben Affleck, sexiest man of the year. I felt like, hey, what am I? That SAT question that says which one of these is different?
Imagine what happened if we didn't share that information with the people in those buildings and something were to happen. Then what would you write? What would you say?
We would say the same thing we said the last time you went on vacation when you knew attack was imminent. You son of a bitch, why didn't you do your job?
Good morning and welcome to the Critics Corner. Evidently, M. Night Shyamalan had no idea for a movie, but he decided to make one anyway.
Now, this certainly scares me.
He titled it The Village, and he hired a good cast, headed by Joaquin Phoenix and Bryce Dallas Howard.
How is it you are brave when all the rest of us shake in our boots?
I fear for your safety before all others.
William Hurt, Adrian Brody, and numerous other able actors also agreed to appear.
We do not believe our boundary has been breached.
Now, the characters in The Village live in intentional isolation. They talk a kind of ersatz Amish, and they constantly speak of those we don't speak of.
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 Who evidently lurk in the surrounding forest. Now, for the first half hour, it is unclear what is going on.
There are secrets in every corner of this village.
In the final hour, we discover that nothing of interest is going on. The producers of the village have asked reviewers to, and I quote, refrain from revealing any plot spoilers or storylines. That's easy, because there is no storyline worth revealing, and I define a spoiler as anybody who suggests that you pay to see this.
Dr. Laura was on Oprah the other day, and boy, did Oprah let her have it. Oprah found out about those spread-leg pictures the doctor did, and she was not amused. She also said, I didn't know this at the time, but Dr. Laura was teaching at the time. She was spreading her legs for any man with a camera. Listen, Oprah beat up Dr. Laura.
Which means you're supposed to have some common sense, right? And we all have made mistakes, so we're not here to sit here to say that my mistakes or their mistakes are any worse than yours. But what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
What the hell were you thinking? When you are spread eagle, what are you thinking? What are you thinking when somebody says spread your legs? And what are you thinking? You are a reasonable, sensible woman. What are you thinking when that happens? You know what? If we were just to see you, I'm sure all your students, the reason why this was so scandalous, if we were just to see you, that's how you never know what's going on behind people's doors. If you just to see you in the classroom, you just never would think that you were the kind of person who could, you know, take a picture. Not a nude, those aren't just nude pictures. And you are a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person says, I want you to pose for artists or we want you to take some nude pictures, that is not the same as holding it open there. Mm-hmm. That's not the same. And you know that. Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, you agreed to come on and tell us the story. I think it's important for other women to know how that can happen to you so that anybody who's watching you say, well, okay, I don't want to make that step. So what are you thinking? Did you lose your sense of rationality or logic or whatever?
It's always interesting to see what themes emerge at political conventions. And as of last night, one started to shine particularly bright.
And John Edwards' story is the story of the American dream. The mill worker's son.
My dad was a milk truck driver.
Ah, the humble origins. A chance to show solidarity with the working man. Son of a mill worker. Son of a milk truck driver. Can anybody top that?
My father was a foreign student. He grew up herding goats.
Son of a goat herder. He wishes his father got to work in a mill. With more on this emerging theme, I'm joined by senior political analyst Stephen Colbert. Stephen, I have to ask you this. And this is a very interesting question. As you watch these speeches, son of a mill worker, son of a milk truck driver, goat herder, are they laying this on a little thick? Does it ring hollow if everyone trumpets this bootstrap story?
Wow. That's pretty cynical, John. I mean, I, for one, connected with what they were saying. Then again, I myself am from humble origins. My father was a poor Virginia turd miner.
I'm sorry?
He mined turds, John. The rich turd veins that run up and down the Appalachians. It was a hard life up at the crack of dawn. Dad goes straight down into the hole. 12, 14-hour days just to put food on the table. But that was life in the turd belt.
Clearly, I guess they wanted something better for you, and that's...
No, John, actually they didn't. They wanted me to mine turds. For them, it was a great job. You see, my father's father was a goat ball licker.
How is that a job?
You have to understand, John, in the old country, the most important thing was to keep the goats happy. Now, as it turns out, the easiest way to do that was to work the ball.
You know, I'd never realized that about your family. I didn't know that.
It's true, John. It's all true. And that's why I believe in the promise of America, that I, the son of a turd miner, the grandson of a goat ball licker, could one day leave those worthless hicks behind while still using their story to enhance my own credibility.
You can't call your show Wife Swap unless the other guy really gets to bang your wife. I didn't sign up for an hour of watching Mom do some other family's laundry. Speaking of wives, new rule. Whenever a woman is missing, arrest her husband. Who else would want her dead? She's a housewife in Salt Lake City. She didn't double-cross the Medellin cartel in a coke deal. New rule. Hurricanes' names should be scary. It's bad enough we can't name hurricanes after women anymore because it's sexist. Now they're all getting waspy names like Alex, which is the least effective approach because hurricanes hit the South. And can you imagine how fast the Carolinas would evacuate if they announced that Ludacris was headed their way? Put on a shirt. You're a news magazine, not Blue Boy. This guy's got such a package on him, I had to sign for it. I haven't had anything this gay in my house since Jim J. Bullock crashed my Christmas party. And finally, new rule. You can make fun of Lindy England all you want, but when it comes to prisons, we're all holding the leash. Now this week, America's anti-sweetheart, Private Lindy England, faced justice for her part in the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, or as Rush Limbaugh calls it, the sleepover. Now a lot of people think Abu Ghraib happened because as Americans, we're comfortable asking our horny hillbillies to fight our wars. And we are. But we're also comfortable with pretending that anyone in America who winds up in prison for whatever reason somehow deserves not just loss of freedom, but a brutalizing, terrifying trip to hell. It's no coincidence that the guard, described as the ringleader in Iraq, Charles Grainer, worked before the war, where? In a prison in America. He didn't learn to torture from the CIA or special ops. He picked it up right here and took his skills of abuse to Iraq. Now, we are all Lindy England because we know what's happening in our prisons and we don't care. We tell ourselves... We tell ourselves the convenient lie that anyone who bears the label criminal or terrorist is irredeemable, subhuman, psycho scum. And so whatever happens to them behind bars is justified. When the truth is, millions of nonviolent Americans have been traumatized for life in prison simply because they either did drugs or made a bad judgment, usually when they were young, stupid, and drunk. You'd think President Bush could relate.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at bartcop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that was show 50. I hope you liked it. We had a little outrage, had a little humor, had a little thievery, had a little fun, had a little Chinako. Sounds like a good mix. And that was show 50, so now we're going to promise you how good show number 100 is going to be. It'll be here quick as a flash. We're getting faster at this, although it doesn't seem like it on your end. We're about to make a time breakthrough. Also, we're toying with the idea of doing a live thing convention night for the NaziCon 2004. Might have to do it all four nights, because they'll have liar after liar after liar come up there. I might get with Fudd, might get with Perkel, might get with Tommy Mack, see if we can't figure out the streaming thing, and we'll just all have a few drinks and watch the NaziCon 2004. Them lying sons of bitches. So hang in there. Appreciate the support. We got 50 shows behind us. We got hundreds of shows to go. We're going to make them better and better. Pretty soon we'll have good radio. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sending the occasional $5 or $10 in through the mail. You're keeping us on the air. I appreciate that. Bart out.
You are born into this world, looking down the barrel of a gun. And those who hold a gun want you to work fast and die young. And if you don't work, if you don't obey, they'll make you live in fear till your dying day. Those who cover the gun to your head with religious corporations, proud of blood they've shed.
I'm gonna go.